Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the radio network. Jamie Dittman will talk about Camp Ripley, mandatory fun outdoors, veterans turkey hunts, sturgeon fishing, and give you a little preview for the walleye opener. Maybe if you're going to head out to Mille Lacs, he's got some tips for you. Also, Joe Henry will check in from Lake of the Woods Tourism. He'll talk about tips for walleye fishing for the opener next week and what it's like in the Rainy River in Lake of the Woods right now. And then we're also going to talk to Tony Crotty here from Mid-Migration Outfitters as well. Talk bow fishing here in just a second. This week's show brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. By Prairie Sportsman. Just a couple episodes left of the new season. Go to prairiesportsman.org for more details. If you watch it on Pioneer, we got 2 weeks left this weekend and next weekend. And if you watch it on the other channels around the state, there's still a few more weeks to go. Hay Bale Heights Campground Resort in Devil's Lake. You want to take a walleye or perch fishing trip to North Dakota, go to Devil's Lake and stay at Hay Bale Heights. Plan your trip at haybaleheights.com. Or if you want monster lakers and giant pike in Saskatchewan, plan your trip to Tazen Lake Lodge at tazenlake.com. Well, Tony Crotty's going to join us now. We got out in the boat for to do some bow fishing, a week or two ago now, Tony? And all this water that we've got in the area right now made it a little bit difficult.
Yeah, it sure did. The lake that we normally bow fish is usually, you know, pretty gin clear water, about 10 foot, 12 foot water clarity. And we got out there and it was about chocolate milk brown. And that's from all that water runoff from all the rain.
And that's kind of affecting a lot of places. Obviously, there's been a lot of flooding, and we're still getting, we've still had some rain and some wet conditions, so that really hasn't let up. But it looks like we got a fairly decent week in front of us, so hopefully some of this water clears up a little bit.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, with the weather kind of stabling out and getting a little warmer, yeah, it'll hopefully calm down. And actually, on the other end, some of the other lakes that are actually dirty, we can actually get into them now this year that they're flooded. The water clears up a little bit. So it should be a pretty good year for bow fishing.
And those lakes are, you know, people think of bow fishing mostly at night with the lights, clear water. But some of those lakes that are dirtier and shallower now that are flooded, those carp are up in the grass. It's pretty fun to shoot those in the daylight.
Yeah, absolutely. And once the spawn gets going, then we can really start shooting a lot during the day. And that's a lot of fun. You know, you can go out and catch a little bit of a tan and then, you know, shoot fish on the top of the water up in the trees and in the grass. And like I said, it's always a good time doing that.
So let's talk about, for somebody out there that wants to start bow fishing, what do they need?
Well, realistically, I mean, they can start with just any basic bow. You know, you can usually pick up a used bow for pretty cheap. And you know, you need a reel of some sort, whether that's one of the new fancy ones, or you can even get kind of like the barrel style bow fishing reel, and you can shoot right from shore, and it's pretty cheap and easy to get into for a starter.
And then when it comes to boats, you're not one of those guys that likes to go buy a bow fishing boat. You like to buy a boat and go, I think I can turn this into a bow fishing rig.
Yeah, well, that's just kind of the mentality that I have. I'm always trying to buy and create. And I bought my boat and recreated it from a old bass fishing boat, and now it's turned into a duck boat, now turned into a bow fishing boat. So
and you have been running, I know we used to lug generators on there, but we kind of went away from the generator.
Yeah, so we're all 12 volt 24 volt LED is what we run now. And some of the lakes that we fish, they get pressured and stuff like that, and the fish can be kind of touchy. And when you have super clear water, the fish can kind of see you coming, and they can kind of hear you coming, I guess. So having them LEDs and being super quiet, it's kind of nice. We can get up on top of them a little more and have a little more success.
Well, and it kind of helps too if you're on a lake. And thankfully, out where we are out here in western Minnesota, a lot of the lakes don't have a lot of houses and cabins around them. But if you are fishing a lake that's got houses and cabins lining the shoreline all the way around, it's kind of nice to go a little bit quieter.
Yeah, it really is. You know, it definitely draws some attention having a generator running. And I guess just having a bow fishing boat at night draws attention, which there's regulations that go into all that. People kind of get a little weird sometimes when they see a big lit up boat out in the middle of a lake going by. But yeah, being quiet is definitely, it's a lot nicer for the people on the lake, especially if there's cabins or homes and stuff like that.
Tony Crondi, our guest, Mid-Migration Outfitters on Sporting Journal Radio, talking about bow fishing right now. There's been some big fish getting shot, but there's also been some tough conditions around the state, too, where there's been a lot of flooding. Lakes are tough to get into, or the traditional spots are a little bit deeper, or just general water clarity is not very good right now, which is the case for some of our lakes out here. And when you go with just LED lights powered by batteries, how many lights do you run on your boat?
That's forever changing, right? Yeah, I think we started out originally with about, what, 6 or 8, and now I think we're up to that 20 mark or something like that. So it's the more the merrier, right?
Yeah, and you see some guys have these big, giant lights all the way around their boat. I mean, it looks like you're at a rock concert or something when you're standing in this thing. But your lights are pretty small.
Yeah, we've tried out quite a few different styles, and we got some smaller ones. And then, you know, now we got some, you know, one big LED light bar mounted on the front. And, you know, it's always trying something new, different colors of lights, things like that for different water clarities. And it's that's the fun of it, always something to learn.
Well, as long as they're bright enough to see the water, it's kind of nice having those smaller ones on there.
Yeah. I mean, it's you can get away with the smaller ones, and we can actually pack more into when you got them smaller lights on there. So it's worked well for us.
You're actually going to be doing some guiding this spring?
Yeah. We'll be doing some guided bow fishing trips. You know, if people want to get out and they want to try it, we'll be doing night trips. And then once the spawn gets going, we'll be doing some day trips as well, and usually in 4-hour stints, we'll go out, and kind of weather permitting is the biggest thing. You know, if it's windy and choppy, we can't get out there, but otherwise we'll be out there chasing them around.
MidMigrationOutfitters.com. Tony, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll talk to Jamie Dittman about the walleye opener next weekend. He's got some tips for you, and Joe Henry too from Lake of the Woods Tourism.
Hey anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle, here you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazon Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazonLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our 5-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazon Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fish you've ever had in your life.
At TazonLake.com. That's TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Watch Prairie Sportsman Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television, Thursday nights at 7:30 on KSMQ in the southern part of Minnesota, Saturdays at 2:30 on Lakeland Public Television in the north, or watch reruns Tuesdays and Thursdays on the Minnesota Channel, broadcasting throughout the region, or at PrairieSportsman.org. All right, we're back. Thanks for tuning in to the Midwest Radio Home for the Outdoors, Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for listening on demand at sportingjournalradio.com, by listening to this radio station each week at this time, or by downloading and subscribing to our podcasts wherever you listen to podcasts. Well, we had one of the best trips I've been a part of for Prairie Sportsman, doing some filming. We filmed 3 different segments up in northern Minnesota, and just had a great time, got exactly what we were looking for. Had a couple of days up on Lake of the Woods chasing sturgeon around. I want to talk a little bit more about sturgeon fishing and get you ready for the walleye opener next weekend with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, how you doing?
Hey, Brett, doing good.
Good. There's a lot of stuff going on right now, and I know a lot of times people think about getting out on the water next weekend for the traditional fishing opener, but last week when we were up on the Rainy River, there was boats everywhere, Joe.
Yeah, as a natural resource, you know, the Rainy River and Lake of the Woods is so cool because, and even that whole region, just the watershed, but I mean, also the land around it, because I know you experienced that too, but, you know, it's just, there's so many opportunities. And part of it is, it's a unique fishery because we have the sturgeon, which most bodies of water don't have. And then that on top of being border water with Canada. So, you know, that allows us that later walleye season through April 14th. It allows us a sturgeon season. And, you know, when really big fish around other parts of the Midwest are closed up right now, certainly Minnesota, you know, Lake of the Woods and the Rainy River is one place you can go and really target some darn good fish.
Right. And it got windy on us a couple of days and we were able to tuck around and get out of the wind a little bit along that river. And the nice thing about sturgeon is they're kind of cruising that river all the time. So you can, I mean, you can get out of the wind and find fish just about anywhere up there.
Absolutely. You can. Yeah. And that's cool. You know, there's about 42 miles of navigable Rainy River. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, between the twists and turns in the river, you're right. When it is windy, whichever way the wind's coming out, if you can get out of that wind, thing is the river never gets real, real rough anyway. So you can use a smaller boat, navigate it, you know, very, very easily. But then if you want to get out of the wind, you get that opportunity as well. And you know what a lot of people do, Brett, even during the year, you know, if they bring their own boat up, you know, 16, 18 foot boat, whatever, you know, they'll, if it's a screaming day in the lake, they'll go fish the river. They'll fish Four Mile Bay, Zipple Bay. You know, they'll get out. Of course, if you're up at the northwest angle, you can hide behind an island. You know, but they'll find those spots out of the wind, and there's plenty of them. And, of course, the days that it's nice, most days you can get on that big water and, you know, go after those huge schools of walleyes that are living out there.
Let me tell you about my trip up there, Joe.
Yep.
It was great. Yeah. And we started off doing some prairie chicken stuff by Glendon, and they said it was the best one of the best mornings they've had all year. It was peak time. I think we had 35 prairie chickens out there doing their thing. There was this one copper colored one. He had a distinct coloring compared to the others, darker than all the others, and he ruled the lek. He had the prime location. He beat off I don't know how many other males that were challenging him for it, and then actually got got lucky with a couple of ladies while we were sitting there that morning too, and he was the only one. So it was fun to watch a unique bird like that just rule the roost, so to speak. And then we went from there and went up to the Rainy River, stayed at Rainy River Resort with Guy and Jackie there. They were great, had some delicious pizza with them. And the weather was beautiful, Joe. We were out there. We did have sweatshirts on, but it was calm. We fished right outside the gap. I met Jamie Dittman up there. He'd already caught three sturgeon, upper 40s to upper 50s. I think one of them was a 57-incher. And we just happened to go up during the keep season. We'd never kept a sturgeon before. And we're like, hey, why not? Let's try it. And he got one in the slot and filled his tag. And then we showed up there in the afternoon. And immediately I hooked into a 48.5-inch sturgeon, filled my tag. And then not long after that, hooked into a 52-inch fish. So five sturgeon that first day, calm water, ice chunks flowing past us. We could see the ice sheet out on the lake. It was just a really neat atmosphere, really neat surrounding. The scenery was beautiful, I guess is where I'm trying to go with this. And the fishing was great, and just had a great first night up there. And I wanted to get four fish on camera, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Four sturgeon. So we had two, and we had a day and a half yet to fish. So the next day, we had to go do something a little bit different. We went up and sat in a sharp tail viewing blind just south of Bidet up there. And they even said it was one of the best mornings they've had out there. It was one of the peak times. I can't remember the number of sharp tail grouse that we had, but putting on displays, fighting with each other. We got some great footage for Prairie Sportsman. So we filmed all this stuff, of course, for episodes that are coming up. The sturgeon episode will come up next weekend, and the prairie chickens and sharp tail will be next year. But unbelievable morning in the viewing blind. And we went back out on the river, and it was kind of windy. And we tried fishing outside the gap again. And we were just getting beat up out there. And we ended up finding a place out of the wind and started watching people catching fish all around us. And sure enough, Jamie caught a 46-inch sturgeon. And I think that was the smallest one of our trip, which 46-inch fish, I'm sorry, that's a nice fish. I don't care what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And then that ended up being it for the day, although we did see a guy catch a 69-incher right next to us.
Wow.
Right. And so we kind of went to bed that night saying, okay, we got half a day left. I'm really not too worried about catching any more fish, but we need one more. And we even said it on camera the next morning. We want one more fish on camera. We want it to be over 60 inches. And guess what happened? Well, I'm not going to tell you what happened. You got to watch the show.
I have an idea.
You got to watch the show. But let's just say what we wanted to accomplish, we accomplished. And you'll be able to watch the sturgeon episode next Sunday night on Pioneer Public Television at 7:30. And then it'll air in the following weeks and months on Lakeland Public Television and KSMQ and WDSE, and then also on TPT Life. Joe, I don't know if I've told you this yet, but they've started airing us on the TPT Life channel. So people in the Twin Cities and all across the state can watch new episodes on TPT Life. So search your guide for that channel right there. I think they're a few weeks behind when Pioneer carries it. But in any case, Joe, it was an unbelievable trip up to the Rainy River.
That's absolutely awesome. You know, one thing I should mention, too, I know that you mentioned those stations, and it's fun to watch that stuff. The other thing I'll mention, too, is that if you happen to miss those stations or not have them, you oftentimes, after the show runs, you'll put it on the Facebook page, too, won't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll have it on our website at prairiesportsman.org, and you can watch it usually after it airs online. Yeah. As well,
which is a nice opportunity for some who maybe don't catch the show, you know. But you know, I'll tell you, and that trip is, you know, such a fun trip, and I'm glad you had fun, and I'm glad everything worked out. You know, one thing I'll tell you, when you go to the Rainy River fishing, I mean, most of the time, if you put together a 2-3 day trip, you know, you could have a day of tough fishing and stuff, but normally something good's going to happen in those days. And that's why we all say put together 2-3 days for sure. Don't make it just a 1 day trip, obviously, because you know what, good things happen up there. And I've been hearing such good sturgeon reports. You know, as far as seasons, Brett, too, for the sturgeon, I mean, you know, my understanding is the keep season goes through, I believe it's May 7th, right?
Yep.
And I think the actual catch and release sturgeon season goes through May 15th. And then the sturgeon season, so you still have some time to go sturgeon fishing. Then the sturgeon season closes down from May 16th through June 30th. It actually closes. And then it opens up again July 1st. So there's a lot of good summer fishing for sturgeon as well. If you really want to go after a dinosaur, don't they pull your arms off? Isn't it just power incredible?
They're so strong. There's so much fun to catch, whether or not you want to keep one. And we interviewed Phil Talmadge up there, the area fisheries supervisor with the DNR and Bidette there. And he said, because I said, well, how many fish get harvested? Because we normally think a sturgeon is just going up and catch and release no matter what, even if it's during the harvest season. And this year we're like, hey, we want to learn a little bit more about this. We want to try the fish. You get to keep one a year. You have to get a special tag for it. So we did that. And he said there's about 4,000 people that get tags each year. And the harvest is around 350 or so sturgeon each year. Mm-hmm. So the harvest is pretty minimal. And he even said that those 45 to 50 inch fish, which is that keep slot, those fish really aren't even reaching maturity yet. So it's a big enough fish to get a decent amount of meat, but you're not really putting a dent in the population that's out there really doing a lot of the reproduction, which I thought was, I was shocked to hear that.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. They reproduce at a much older age and they're bigger fish. The sturgeon are a different deal, but that's what makes them good. You know, and isn't it great to have the DNR studying like they do? So they have a really good handle on, you know, how many can be harvested. It's still going to, you know, it's not going to hurt the sturgeon population. And I just, you know, we put a lot of confidence in those guys. And I'll tell you, Phil Talmadge is a first-class dude. We're lucky to have him, that's for sure. And his staff. I mean, they keep track of all these stats, and they're the ones that are helping us to understand angling hours on the lake. You know, what we predict the actual populations of different species of fish are, how they're growing, what's happening with the forage. I mean, there's a number of things that they help us understand. And of course, that's how they make their decisions on limits and seasons and everything else.
Well, they tagged those sturgeon up there, and he was telling me about some fish that get re-caught. And that speaks to the success of catch and release, of course. Those fish are, as long as you handle them right and don't, you know, grab them by the gills and things like that, they're pretty tough fish. And he said that one in particular has been caught and released 10 times.
Well, I think they have a name for them, too.
I think they do have a name for them.
Yeah, yeah, it's got 10 times. Imagine that. So that fish, wow. Fish finds those anglers. I don't know if it's living in the popular spots or just eat so much or what, but I tell you, talk about having 9 lives. That one has 10.
Right. And I know somebody else that's up there fishing this week after we were up there. And they said that cold front kind of slowed things down a little bit, but they're still catching, You know, and to me, sturgeon is one of those quantity over quality type fish. You're looking for big fish. You might have to sit there for a while to catch it. And they're knocking a couple off per day, which is the same thing we did, but they're all big. Like they got one, I think that was 65 inches by 29 inches, I think is what he told me. They're 65 or 67 by 29. 29 inch girth, that's a big fish. It's a big, heavy fish. And he said that, and then I think that one was tagged, actually. I think he told me that one was a tagged fish. And I think that finding out that information is just fascinating. But he said somebody else right by him caught a 70 and a half incher up there too.
Wow. Well, you know, nowadays too, it's like, you know, when you fish on Lake of the Woods, you know, we've been encouraging people to bring a, make sure you have a camera with most people do on their phone, but make sure you have a tape measure because, you know, the DNR has the new catch and release records now for muskies, pike, and sturgeon. And, you know, I think we had the lake sturgeon record. I think it just got beat from
St. Croix.
On the St. Croix River. Yeah. But we're going to get that one again. We have fish that have been caught and released that people didn't, you know, do that with that were much bigger. We also have the catch and release record for pike right now. And so, I mean, my point is that you should almost carry that tape measure in your tackle box just in case you get that monster fish. You know, you can still release that fish in good standing, but, you know, still get some recognition for the state record.
Could you remind Jamie Dittman of that? Because I'm glad we didn't catch the potential record while we were up there, Joe. And we wanted to for the TV purposes, of course, because how great would that have been to catch a record on TV? But when we caught that one over 60 inches, Jamie's tape measure only went up to 60 inches. So, so our tape measure wasn't long enough to go the whole way for that fish that we caught, but we made it work either way. But I don't know if it would have held up for a catch and release record. But anyway, all right, Joe, we got to take a quick break, but I still want to talk walleye opener on Lake of the Woods in the Rainy River and tips and tactics. Can you stick around for a little bit?
I can, thank you.
More Joe Henry coming up from Lake of the Woods Tourism here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Watch Prairie Sportsman Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television, Thursday nights at 7:30 on KSMQ in the southern part of Minnesota, Saturdays at 2:30 on Lakeland Public Television in the north, or watch reruns Tuesdays and Thursdays on the Minnesota channel broadcasting throughout the region or at PrairieSportsman.org. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Haybale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages, or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Haybale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit HaybaleHeights.com. That's HayBaleHeights.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at LakeOfTheWoodsMN.com.
If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazzin Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazzinLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazzin Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fish you ever had in your life.
At TazzinLake.com. That's TazzinLake.com. Tazzin Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Hi, this is the Midwest Radio Home for the Outdoors, Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network or on demand at sportingjournalradio.com. You could even subscribe to the podcast and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Our guest, Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism, right now, we recapped our sturgeon fishing trip that'll air on Prairie Sportsman next Sunday night at 7:30 p.m. on Pioneer Public Television, or search your guide for Prairie Sportsman. It was the best sturgeon fishing trip I've had up to the Rainy River. It was a good time. And we caught one walleye by accident, or one or two walleyes by accident up there. Obviously, it's we weren't targeting them, and season wasn't open. We had to release them, but Joe, the season opens next week already.
May 11th, Saturday, May 11th is the Minnesota Fishing Opener. And, you know, I'll tell you, it's funny because with, you know, the Rainy River and Lake of the Woods, you know, we could fish walleyes through April 14th on that Rainy River. So already we have an extended season. But the fact is that we have to shut her down April 14th and then go till May 11th. That gives some people the shakes, you know? So right. It's kind of cool. Like somebody had made a mention from another state, oh, we don't have to worry about closed seasons. Well, you know, Minnesota, they do close the season. They do it for a reason. And one thing it does, it makes it so that when the fishing opener happens, it's now an official celebration, holiday, rite of passage. Everybody talks about it. Everybody looks forward to it. Everybody's talking about where they're going to go for the opener, what they're going to do for the opener. You know, I grew up in Minnesota, but, you know, I love it. I love the fact that there's a Minnesota fishing opener. It really, really brings positive attention to the incredible natural resources we have in our state. And, you know, it's just kind of neat, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I know some people go back and forth on what effect fishing during that closed time of the year actually would have on the walleye population, the walleye spawn. Obviously, if you're pulling fish out of the spawning areas, it can't be real good for them. But the biggest thing I think with the openers, it's become such a tradition for people now that it's like they make their plans a year in advance or they go to the same place year after year after year. And I don't see it ever changing in this state, Joe.
No, it's a holiday. There's no doubt about it. And I'll tell you what, you know, it's also a holiday up at Lake of the Woods. I mean, for people that haven't, you know, fished the opener up at Lake of the Woods and the Rainy River and the Northwest Angle, I mean, it is so much fun. And I'll tell you a few things that make it fun. First off, helps that you got millions of walleyes and saugers. That helps a lot.
Yeah,
because now all of a sudden, instead of fishing, you're catching. Yeah. And, you know, but there's, we have so many resorts up there. You know, people think the opener must just be a zoo up there. Actually, it's not. You know, we have plenty of room available at our resorts on opening day. We actually start getting busier as the warmer months come. And, but, you know, we got room up there for people. And you know what? The cool thing about it is it's going to be traditionally a jig bite. So you're going to use a jig and a minnow or a jig and a frozen emerald shiner. And, you know, a lot of times you're using it's stained water up at Lake of the Woods in the Rainy River, and, you know, that area. So you're going to be using the brighter color jigs. You'll be using gold is always a good color in that stained water. But then the glow colors, the oranges, the pinks, the chartreuses, and then or a combination thereof. You know, that company up at Lake of the Woods, Tom's Tackle, they make a lot of jigs that are made right for Lake of the Woods just because of the weight and the maybe the built-in rattles, maybe the strobe effect on them, maybe the color combination of the pinks and the glows and the golds, you know, things like that. So it's kind of unique when you buy some jigs up there, you're going to notice they're a little bit different. And, you know, with that stained water, the other thing I noticed, Brad, is that you can get away with a little bit heavier jig. So, you know, many a times when you're fishing really, really crystal clear water, you try to use the lightest jig you possibly can for the conditions you're fishing. And I say conditions being wind, current, and depth of water. And, you know, with Lake of the Woods, because that stained water, you can get away with that heavier jig. And that gives you a lot more control. You can do some different things with it. You can pound the bottom when you're, and by the way, too, when you're jigging Lake of the Woods, yep, you can pitch a shoreline. You can pitch a reef. You can cast and reel it in stuff. You know what? Much of the fishing on Lake of the Woods, you're anchored up in vertical jigging over the side of the boat, whether you're on the river or a 4 Mile Bay or the South Shore or up in the angle, but you're anchored up. And you know, when you're anchored up and jigging, that is such a fun way to fish. It's relaxing. You know, those fish on Lake of the Woods, they move around. And they're going to find you if you're in the spot where the fish are living. And it's just so much darn fun. I can't tell you. The other thing that's cool about early is that water's cold. So there's going to be fish left over in the river. There's going to be fish in 4 Mile Bay. And there's going to be fish all along that south shore from, you know, Pine Island to Morris Point, Zippel Bay, Long Point, Rocky Point. That whole south shore will hold fish in different spots close to shore because those fish won't be out too far. Then when you get up to the angle, you're going to be fishing those underwater points, shoreline structure, underwater points, neck down areas where there's a little bit of water moving through those islands areas, and of course on the edge of reefs. And there's so many spots to fish. It's just so cool.
Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about the walleye opener next weekend on Lake of the Woods and the Rainy River and the angle. When we fished sturgeon up there, Joe, we had to put on some pretty heavy weight. We had 6 ounce weights on for the sturgeon rigs because the water was cooking pretty good. When you tell somebody if they're going to jig in the river for opener next year and you tell them, well, you're going to want to bring some heavier jigs, what type of jigs or how big or what kind of selection would you tell them to bring up there?
Well, definitely, if you're going to fish that river, I definitely have some 1-ouncers with me. And, you know, you might not even have 1-ouncers in your arsenal, but, you know, you can pick all that stuff at the bait shops or resorts up there because, you know, they know that, all right, we got more flow this fishing opener than we've had, we know that we normally do for the opener. So the water's moving pretty good, okay? No big deal. You just got to prepare for it. And that's when you get that big 1-ounce jig. And like I said, the walleyes don't mind it. You can take that big old ball of lead and get it going pretty darn vertical. You'll have a little bit of an angle in that current course, but you can control that. And you bounce it off the bottom, hold it in the strike zone, shake it, lift it up a little bit, and all of a sudden, pow, you'll get that tap and it's game on. You know, so that's what I would recommend is make sure you have some 1-ounce jigs with you. And, you know, one thing about it is that if you have too light of a jig, you're in trouble because it's hard to control it and it's hard to get it down.
Right.
If you have I'd rather have too heavy of a jig than too light of a jig, especially in that stained water. You know, the other thing I'll mention to you, Brett, is that, you know, most people are going to be jigging. That's great. It's going to work. The other method that a few people will be doing is pulling crankbaits. And, you know, pulling cranks in this cold water. I mean, people were pulling cranks in April when you could do that way. I mean, walleyes will hit cranks. And I would not be afraid to be pulling crankbaits. When they pull it on the river, you might be pulling shoreline structure with a shad wrap. You might be putting on a bottom bouncer with a 6-foot piece of fluorocarbon and pulling a stick bait, you know, a shallow diver, and just keeping that bottom bouncer near the bottom. I mean, there's a number of ways you can do it. But the point of it is, pulling crankbaits, even in this cold water, can be extremely effective for catching walleyes. And there's a lot of times where I've spoken to guys who said, yeah, I went on jigging, we got our fish, you know, and, you know, we just needed a couple more. So just for fun, we put on crankbaits and, oh my gosh, did we hammer them, or we got bigger fish. And, you know, so you hear that a lot. And again, I would at least keep that in the back pocket if need be.
Joe, I've got a secret technique that I would use if I went up there.
Not dynamite, is it?
It's not dynamite. No, no, but that would probably be effective as well. I'd go up there and fish sturgeon. And yeah. You'll just drop some crawlers and some shiners on the bottom and let it sit there. And we always seem to pick up walleyes doing that. And sometimes they're really big walleyes too. And real quick, Joe, everybody talks about shiners being such a preferred bait up on the Lake of the Woods area up there. Would you ever jig with night crawlers?
Oh, absolutely. I would. Yeah, I would. Now, with that being said, personally, in this cold water early in the year, I prefer the minnows. You know, the leeches will curl up in that cold water, and the night crawlers, you know, I'm more of a fan of night crawlers when the water starts warming up to around that 50 degrees.
Well, and the only reason I bring it up is because we seem to catch walleyes when we're sturgeon fishing, and I guess we got shiners on there too, but I was just curious. Anyway.
I'll tell you this, when I give seminars, one thing I'll say, you know, whenever you, as a walleye angler, whenever you come up with these little rules of thumb, like, well, normally you start pulling crawler harnesses when it's 50 degree water. Well, then you talk to somebody who went on the opener and, you know, 43 degree water and whacked them pulling harnesses. So what gives, you know?
Well, when we got there on Friday, let's see, what day did we get up there last year? Wednesday last week, the ice sheet was pretty close to the gap. Like, we just fished between the gap and the ice sheet. And then by Friday, when we fished out there, we couldn't even see it anymore. And I know some 70 degree temps and some pretty warm temps the next week. I'm sure, maybe it'll be non-existent. I don't know, but it was kind of interesting to see that shift around like that, and it really kind of affected how we fished.
Sure it did. You know that ice is going to be gone. I think people always get nervous this time of year because we still have some ice on the lake. But you know, like you said, you know, that ice is miles out from the gap.
Yeah.
And then other parts of the lake, you know, as the resort owners are telling me, ice is moving. That means that they can see it going up and down in some of the waves. And so once that happens, all it takes is one good wind, a 70 degree day, which we're supposed to have quick here.
It'll be gone. You know,
it's going to roll. It's going to be gone.
All right, Joe. Well, if somebody wants to come up there for the opener, where can they find out more information?
Tons of info either on the Lake of the Woods Tourism's Facebook page or check out our website. And that's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Watch Prairie Sportsman Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television, Thursday nights at 7:30 on KSMQ in the southern part of Minnesota, Saturdays at 2:30 on Lakeland Public Television in the north, or watch reruns Tuesdays and Thursdays on the Minnesota Channel, broadcasting throughout the region, or at prairiesportsman.org.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From
Dead and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the northwest angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazon Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazonLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazon Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fishing you've ever had in your life.
At TazonLake.com. That's TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
You are listening to the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. It's called Sporting Journal Radio. My name is Brett Amundson. Thank you for listening. Wherever you get podcasts or this radio station at this time each week right here, or if you're listening on demand at sportingjournalradio.com. Had a great trip up to Lake of the Woods with Jamie Dittman. He's a guide around the Brainerd Lakes area, and he joins us now on the radio show. Jamie, are you fat and happy after smoking all that sturgeon?
Yes, and everyone was right. That's all we heard was how good it was, and yes, it is that good.
So we decided to go up and film a sturgeon episode for Prairie Sportsman. And we've done some filming up there before, and it's always been catch and release, or we've gone up there just to fish, and it's always catch and release. And we just happened to time it this year with the keep season. Didn't really plan on keeping a fish, but we decided to do it this year. And, you know, Jamie, when we interviewed Phil Talmadge up there with the DNR, he basically said there's like 4,000 people that buy these sturgeon keep tags. But there's only about 300, 350 fish or so that actually get harvested, that those guys actually catch in the slot. And either there's a lot of fish in that slot this year, or we just got really lucky.
Yeah, you know, I think an hour or so I had mine, and under a half hour you had yours both in the slot. And that was just amazing, you know, to get them that size right away.
Right. And so we ended up keeping two fish from our trip up there, tagged out, as they like to say. And you actually put yours in the smoker as soon as you got home and have had a chance to enjoy it. So tell our listeners how you prepared it and how it was.
So I basically just staked it out. So I cut it up and down with the fish and cut through where the spine would be on a normal fish. Cool thing about sturgeon, no bones. So it's just a huge chunk of meat. And brined it overnight in brown sugar and salt. Same thing I've done with every fish for years. And smoked it for about 6-7 hours at a lower temp. And right at the end, browned it a little bit. And it is, a lot of people compare it to like a tuna or something. It's really firm. It's a really, it has a lot of weight to it. And it's not fishy at all.
So when you ate it then, was it like knife and fork cutting it up like a steak then when you ate it, or did it chunk, do you chunk it, or you fall apart, or how did it work?
You can just break it off, but it's really firm. You break off a chunk, you know, and none falls to the ground. It's really firm. It looks kind of like a halibut or a white meat with marbling in it, like a salmon, or, you know, say a good steak or something. It had a lot of fat marbling. So that's where it's, the oil comes from, I guess. And yeah, it's really good stuff.
Well, I'm excited to try it. Jamie Dittman, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about our sturgeon trip with Prairie Sportsman. And we just got done talking about the sturgeon up on the Rainy with Joe Henry, so we don't need to go back into everything that we did up there. But one thing we mentioned, or we didn't mention, is how we fished for the sturgeon. So, Jamie, maybe you can just kind of recap how we were targeting these fish.
Yeah, I know. And it's basically, it's really simple. You don't need much of a boat. A lot of times you can fish right out from whatever landing you're on. I target them by fishing the holes right on the skirt of a hole, usually the upward side of the hole towards the beginning of the hole as the current's running. Basically, an 18 to 24 inch snell with a circle hook, 50 pound mono with you know, weight accordingly, anywhere from 3 ounce to 6 ounce, and some crawlers on there, some dead shiners. So whatever they like to smell that day, we have, and put it down and let your scent trail go and just wait for the fish.
More importantly, have a good anchor.
Have a good anchor and lots of rope. Another thing that I completely forgot this trip that we should have had was a drift sock, because you put that out in the back with the current and that keeps you from swaying in the wind.
Mm. And that was one thing we noticed when it did get windy. We started to sway a little bit, and you don't want your bait moving around down on the bottom.
No, then they're just looking around and they're scent everywhere and they don't know where the bait is.
Right. Right. So,
because as you know how dirty the water is, they can't see very far.
I couldn't believe how just, you know, you always know that water is stained up there on Lake of the Woods, Rainy River, but it was real bad when we were up there last week.
Yeah, when you have a huge fish on a 50-inch fish and you can't see it till it's an inch from the top of the water, you know it's dirty.
Yeah. Well, we did get some 50-inch fish, even bigger than that. Watch Prairie Sportsman this Sunday night, a week from this weekend. So Sunday, May 12th at 7:30 p.m. on Pioneer Public Television, or check your local listings for where you can watch it, where you're listening at. All right, so next weekend, also the walleye opener. Jamie, you guide around the Brainerd area. Do you got some trips lined up?
Yeah, I think we're actually going to head to Mille Lacs this year. You know, it should be a great opener. It usually is. And you can keep one fish this year, so we're going to go out there. I think I got a lot of buddies coming up and make a little party out of it.
I'm glad you get to keep a fish. And normally, I wouldn't keep a walleye over 20 inches or even over, you know, 19, 19 and a half, whatever. The slot this year is what, 21 to 23?
Yes.
Interesting. Yes. Interesting. But at least if you can only keep one fish, there's a lot of meat on a fish like that.
That's enough for a good two people, you know?
For sure. For sure. So what kind of tactics are you going to employ on Mille Lacs?
Depends where we fish. You know, we'll probably end up Lindy rigging up on the north side on the sand. Lindy rigging a leech.
And using
kind of my go-to.
Leeches, yeah. Already.
Yeah, I'm guessing Mille Lacs. That's kind of my go-to in Mille Lacs.
Sure, sure. How? What are people seeing? Are people catching crappies around the area?
A lot of the crappies are still out deep. They were starting to come shallow, but this cold week pushed them back out. So if we get some this weekend, next week's going to be great crappie week. Some we're getting them in the spawning beds. Most of them are out in 10 to 20 feet yet. So it should coincide. You can go get some walleyes in the morning on opener, and should be able to still go out and get some crappies.
And if people want to maybe jump in a boat with you, they just get a hold of S&W?
Yep, just call S&W Bait and tell them, ask for Jamie, and we'll get you out.
Can't believe it's already the walleye opener across Minnesota. You're listening
walleye to walleye opener, turkey hunting.
Well, yeah, so that's what I was going to talk about next is turkeys. And if you bought an over-the-counter tag, that started May 1st, and that was my plan this year, was to get a tag and start hunting May 1st. And, of course, those first couple of days of May were kind of rainy and drizzly. Like, I was even going to go out and scout, and the weather just was cold and rainy, and I didn't want to be out there. Anyway, but a good forecast for us this week, some warmer temperatures, those birds should be getting active, shouldn't they?
Yeah, and you're going to need to sit for a while. Hopefully it's a little warmer, because there are a lot of them are henned up already. So you're just going to have to talk them away from them hens, because they're out there. You know, we were down at Ripley this week for the veterans turkey hunt, and the first day they had 9 turkeys, which is pretty good.
Wow. That does. How many veterans are out there?
I believe there was 50 veterans.
Okay.
And that's, you know, pretty good year. And biggest, I think, was 24 pounds.
Nice.
So they were seeing them. A lot of guys were hearing them, but they just wouldn't come in. They wouldn't come away from the hens.
Sure. Sure. Well, and that's something you did with Mandatory Fun Outdoors?
Yep. We went down there. Two other people from the group, Tom Whitehead and Sam Hunter, are both guiding veterans. I could have went, but they said they had it covered. So I just went down there to talk to everybody and see all my old friends and see how many turkeys they got. But they're guiding. This is the first year Tom and Hank didn't get one opening day, so they didn't know they had to hunt the second day. They'd never had to do that.
Oh, boy.
And Sam and Randy got one, and Randy's the guy that comes to all our veterans events, and Sam is always his guide. So they got one opener.
That's
and
awesome.
So that was really cool.
That's great. So with birds, Tom's henned up like this, what do you recommend people do?
Just stick it out. You know, keep calling at them, stick it out, and sooner or later they're going to get either interested or annoyed at you and come see what's going on. And as long as we can just keep them hens from keeping them too close.
Sure, sure. So do you change decoy tactics at all, or what would you employ at this point?
You know, I would say this time of year, one hen and maybe a couple jakes to, hopefully they get mad enough to come get them jakes out of there. I really don't use a tom decoy this time of year especially, and that's just kind of the way I do it.
Jamie Dittman, our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio, talking turkeys and sturgeon and walleyes here for the opener. Next weekend already, looks like a pretty good forecast for it. I'll be down in Albert Lea for the governor's fishing opener this year, which, you ever walleye fish down in the southern part of the state like that, Jamie?
No, I haven't. I just, you know, when you think of fishing, you go north. And I know there is good spots down there, so hopefully they have a good opener.
Yeah, they're shallow, and the lakes down there are kind of stained too. So I think it's tough fishing maybe later in the summer, but I think early and real late, I think, is when it gets good down there. And honestly, I'm just speculating because I've never fished down there either. I was surprised when they announced Albert Lea as the host of this year, but that's kind of cool. You know, there are some good walleye lakes down there, and it's a part of the state that I've never fished. So I'm looking forward to going down there and being a part of that next weekend. So, Jamie, when we fished Wilmer, I'm guessing it'll be kind of similar to how we fished in Wilmer last year, which we stayed in that 6 to 10 foot range. And just pulled jigs along the bottom with minnows and trolled real slow.
You know, I would probably go at it kind of like Red Lake, jigs and minnows. And if it's kind of slow, crankbaits would be a great, you know, like a number five or number seven shad wrap. Troll them, and that might be even a better bite.
And we should mention your boat, by the way, real popular up on the Rainy last week.
Yeah, I have plenty of work now in the shop. My truck is still up there. I have to get that one of these days. I had to bring another truck home to wrap it, and did a bunch of sign bids this week for bait shops up there and resorts. So, yeah, so I guess I'll have to go back.
Oh, darn.
I also want to mention one thing with our mandatory fun outdoors.
Sure.
We do have coming up on the website a sign-up list for, we have a 20-person fishing trip out to the Missouri River in South Dakota.
Cool.
We don't have a ride yet, but otherwise everything is paid for. We have rooms out there, guides, everything for combat disabled veterans. And we also have a two-person trip for combat disabled veterans for waterfowl in Saskatchewan.
Oh, boy.
So watch the website, and we'll be picking for those coming up.
Do you need a volunteer guide for that trip? I'm just saying.
Well, you might be in Saskatchewan at that time anyway.
That's
so
true. I might be.
And we're also going to think about having a sturgeon trip, hopefully by June, up to Rainy River offshore.
Very good. And the Mandatory Fun website has all that stuff?
The website will have the sign-ups as soon as they're released. They'll be on there, and then you can sign up.
All right, very good. Jamie Dittman, thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio. Good luck next
weekend.
Thank
you. You too.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. To listen to the show again, go to sportingjournalradio.com or download the podcast in your podcast app or iTunes. Find us on Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.